We got married in 2010, and it was about a year later that we decided we wanted to start a family, and that's when we found out that we were unable to have biological children.
That's when we considered starting a family through adoption.
We had a failed adoption along the way, but through that process, God led us to embryo adoption. We started saving money and doing fundraisers to raise money for all of the adoption costs. Cam started talking about what we wanted to give for the One Campaign, which is a campaign to make more space for people to come to know Jesus at all of the campuses at Savannah Christian.
You know, Cam told everybody to make a sacrifice that hurts or that it would be out of your comfort zone.
My immediate thought was our adoption fund. I knew that giving all of that money was sacrificing our dreams of a family, and that would hurt more than anything else. We could have cut money from our budget every month to give that, and it could hurt, but it wouldn't be that deep wound, heart hurt of giving up our family like this gift was. I spent a couple of days struggling with God over it and crying and begging Him to do something different, or if there was any other way or something else we could give. Reed just sat there looking at me, and as I told him this, his response was, okay, let's do it. So we wrote our check, and we knew that a week later, we were going to the agency to transfer embryos. And we knew that by writing that check, we did not have the money to pay the adoption fees. We were just trusting God to provide the money or to shut a door. We didn't know what was going to happen.
Well, then I think, a week later, we had a check come in. And then the next week, we had another check come in.
And it covered almost all of the fees for the transfer. I will never forget the day the doctor called and said, you're pregnant. And I just fell to my knees in the living room and said, thank you, God. It was a couple of weeks later that we went to hear heartbeats. We had two heartbeats. And
we have twin boys now.
Life is fun with twins. I can't imagine it any different. It is everything I ever dreamed, plus some.
It's just a humbling experience knowing that, you know, God heard all of our prayers and our cries.
We knew that giving this money didn't necessarily mean we would get checks in the mail the next week, and it doesn't always work that way. But we did know that this One Campaign would help draw people who were lost to come to know Christ. And that is a worthy sacrifice. If we never had children, if we never had a family, more people would know Jesus as a result of that. And how can you argue with reasoning like that?
Hey, I love that story because for a lot of reasons, but Maggie and Reed are friends of mine, and saw them go through all that. And in the end, you see that, and here's what you get from that. Whatever your plan is in life, and let's talk specifically even too about your financial plan, you want the blessing of God to be a part of that equation because you just don't know what God's going to do. And you see that, and it's just so inspiring. And so, you know, and we don't give. We don't give to get. We give because we love, and we love people, and we love God, and we want to follow His direction. But the blessing of God is tied to all that. It's tied to obedience. And so whatever your plan is, you want the blessing of God to be a part of that equation. Now, obviously, we're doing something different today. We have a finance panel here, and I want to start out just by introducing myself. My name is David Allgaier. I'm the director of regional campuses here and a teaching pastor here at Savannah Christian Church. I want to welcome all our other campuses, all our other regionals, Effingham and East Campus and Statesboro and our Spanish-speaking campus and also Lay Church downtown. We're really glad you're with us. What we do is a few times a year, we're going to be doing this several times in this coming year, we'll do a series that we have just an extraordinary amount of questions about the topic. And so sometimes we'll even put something in the lobby, write your questions down. Other times we just accumulate those based on what people ask our pastors and what they're asking. And so that's what we're doing. We're doing a panel based on the questions that people have been asking. And so we just pick just a few of those or the categories that people ask the most questions in. And we ask a question from that category. So that's what we're going to do. Now, before we do that and before I introduce these guys, I want to tell you one thing. Just put one thing on your heart right now in this message, but also, you know, with this whole series, and it's this, that we, and Cam's talked a lot about this in the last 2 weeks, about having financial peace, and that's the thing. We want you to have peace, and God wants you to have peace. We want, you know, going back 3,500 years to the Levitical priestly blessing, what God told the Levites to pray over the Israelites every time he saw them. The priest would say, "May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you and turn his face towards you and give you peace." And and God said that. He said, "I want you to say this to the people every time because I want them to know that I'm for them, I'm with them." And you have to understand that when you hear things about God's direction. And here's the thing. There's a couple things you need to know about this, okay? People struggle sometimes even with this topic. Obviously, we all know that relationally and otherwise people struggle with this topic. And in large part because there's so many messes out there. And so even when we talk about these things, when we talk about giving or we talk about finances, people struggle with it because they just feel kind of bad or they feel like they're in such a mess. They're like, "Man, I'm not going to get to that place of peace you're talking about." But there's something you misunderstand about that, a really big mistake. And let me just say what it is. Let me say two things about that. First of all, we all understand on this panel, and in fact, the reason I picked the people, one of the primary reasons I picked the people to be on this panel is because we all come from, we all have financial mess stories and financial debt stories. We get it. But the second thing is this. I don't want you to misunderstand. I don't want you to feel bad as you hear financial principles talked about and make this mistake that people often make. And this is what it is. They think that they will have peace after, whether it's a year from now, a couple years from now, 5 years from now, whatever the plan is, when everything is straightened out, they think that's when they'll have peace, and that's not true. Peace comes way before you ever get everything all settled. Peace comes when there's a clear plan to the destination. It comes long before everything's all worked out. I mean, and everybody in the room gets this. You all have a story about this in some different way. Let me give you just one of mine just to kind of reinforce this. Okay, this happened to me two different times. I've flown on a lot of little airplanes for a lot of different reasons. One, because my daughter had different surgeries and stuff like that. And this kind of weird thing happened to me twice where we were in a small plane and we were in the midst of clouds. And there was a problem, you know, not knowing whether the plane was sort of sideways or not or straight. It's called spatial disorientation. Don't be scared to fly. I'm still here, okay? But I happened this one time when I was flying down south. I have another time I was flying up north. I'll tell you the north story because it's freaky to even think about. But so there was a teacher pilot and a student pilot, and the teacher pilot was teaching the student pilot how to fly with instruments only. So because it just so happened, and we didn't know this, but the ceiling, meaning the cloud level, was super low, 200 feet. That's very low. That means that until you get under the clouds, you can't see the runway, so you have to trust the instruments. That's really hard to do. And so we're in the back, and the student pilot is not doing very well, okay? He's not doing very well. And I know what all these instruments are called now because I looked them up later because I was so fascinated because of what happened. There's this thing called the attitude indicator. And what it is it's this ball, gyro ball, and it has an artificial horizon, and it shows the wings of the plane, and it goes like this. Well, this one was like going like this. And I don't know if you've ever been bowling where you're trying to make the ball go after you roll it. I'm like in the back seat going, "Oh, man, the wings are like this." I'm like, "Oh." You're wanting to reach up and grab. It was, I'm telling you, this was like a near panic thing because we were going all over the place and the teacher guy was freaking out and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And the guy in the back, the next to me, was ready to go. And I was holding him. I mean, it was a crazy experience, okay? Here's what happened. The teacher guy took over. The teacher pilot took over. Thank you, Lord. Teacher guy took over. But here's what he did. It was really cool. He goes, "All right, I'm taking over. Okay, good try. I'm taking over." Now, and then he looked, and he kind of leaned back, and we have all those microphones on it, so you didn't need to lean back, but he was leaning back. He's like, "Okay, guys, let me explain what these are. This is the landing whatever system. This little light does this. We're lined up with the runway. This is the attitude indicator. See how the plane wings are like this? See how the horizon's like this? Okay, we're totally level, this, and this. In about 20 seconds, we're going to see the ground." Now, I'm holding on to the seat. As soon as he said all that, guess what I did? this is kind of fun, you know, all good. All the peace came. When did the peace come? The peace came before we landed. The peace came before we got to the destination. You need to understand this because, trust me, there's people in the room, you got conflict in your marriage or conflict, you know, in relationships because of this finance stuff and because you just don't see an end in sight. You're even struggling in this series a little bit. I don't want to hear this stuff and da-da-da, and I just don't know how we can get out of this. And it's not true. The peace can come to you right away. As you leave the room, I'm telling you, God can give you a measure of peace, maybe even full peace, even as you leave the room, as your heart says, I'm going to do that stuff. I'm going to commit my ways to walking with the Lord in these things because I trust in him and he's going to lead me. So let me say that Levitical blessing over you financially. You can say it in any form in life, but let me just say it over you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his face towards you and give you peace. And you can have it, okay? So here we go, all right? So I'm going to introduce these guys. I'm going to introduce the panel. We're just going to answer three questions out of the multitude of stuff we got and just kind of have fun with it. All right, this is John Mark Romans right here. John Mark Romans is the associate outreach pastor.
If you say so.
Something like that at Savannah Christian Church.
All right.
I've known John Mark for 13 years. I just don't know what his title is. But I don't know if you, some of you, you know, you're new, and we're so glad you're here. John Mark and his family, they had a call to go to a Muslim country. They were over there for nearly 4 years. They're back now. And we love having John Mark around. He's got a wife and three kids. He's on the panel for a lot of reasons, but he and I used to talk about our finances a lot and just ideas of how to give more and things like that. So I really wanted him here. This is Brendan Farrell. Now, Brendan Farrell is a commercial lender. Now, when I wrote down what his title was, he's like, he goes, can you not say that? Can you tell them that I'm just in the banking industry? Because commercial lender, he's the one who lends people money that make them go into debt. So he's kind of the enemy on the stage. You know when Jesus talks about like the tax collectors and sinners? So, you know, there's wise debt, there's foolish debt. We love Brendan. Brendan is a deacon at our church. He serves us. He served with me down at Lay Church. His wife used to work with me down there. A great guy. Really good story. My wife and I got a bunch of financial advice from him back in the day. Okay, this is Davey James. He's a local business owner. He owns the Outback on Abercorn. And the way I met Davey was that I teach college classes, too, at Point University. And Davey got a call. So he's a business owner, but he got a call, a conviction to go into ministry. So he's back doing a Christian studies degree. And so he was in one of my classes, and we got to meet and got to talk about things. So let's just show some love to these guys right here. Right on. All right, we're gonna jump right in. We got three major questions and categories, and so just you know, jot stuff down as you want. I'm gonna ask Brendan to start us out, and what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna pick one of the questions somebody asked, but in a big category. But I'm gonna say it the way they asked it. So this question kind of asked in different ways. Just kind of take a simple one here. All of us here have a story about this, Brendan. We know everyone on the table here has a story about this. What do you do? Here's the question. If you are deeply in debt and you don't see a way out?
Well, having debt or even thinking about doing a budget can seem really overwhelming. I know it was for our family. But kind of like Dave said, once you make a plan and really start to work that plan, joy comes immediately. You've brought light to the darkness. And at Lay Church recently, Ken was discussing the benefits of putting things in the light rather than concealing them in the darkness. And it's the same thing with debt. It has to be faced head on. So as soon as our family started with our plan, there was freedom, peace, and joy immediately. We knew what we were up against, and we actually had a plan for the first time. So a little background. I know how debt can weigh you down. We had all kinds of debt. We had student loan debts, credit card debts, and vehicle debts. And just an example of that, in 2005, I walked into a dealership, and I saw this brand new shiny silver Jeep Wrangler. And I purchased that Jeep for $25,000 with no money down in about 30 minutes.
That was so nice of them not to make you put money down.
And it was fun at first to have that Jeep and with the sunshine down here. But I had to start withdrawing $500 a month from my retirement that I saved while I was in the Army just to start making the monthly payments on that Jeep. So it wasn't as fun as I watched my retirement dwindle away each month.
Yeah.
So my wife and I, we had $48,000 in total debt that we brought to the marriage. And we paid it off in 18 months.
So it was how much, $48,000?
$48,000.
Wow.
Yep. So, and, you know, here's how we did it. So we completed a budget twice a month. And the first few budgets were really important. They did take a lot of time. One of the first things we did was we cut up the credit cards. And we turned off the credit cards that had a balance. One card had a balance that had one of our credit cards had an available limit of $50,000. So the companies will really allow you to go into debt.
And credit cards really like people like you, by the way, right?
That's right. That's right. They'll encourage that. So we really had to, you know, we cut those off altogether, and that was big for us. The next thing we did was we started on our debt snowball, where we listed our debts, our smallest debts to our largest debts, and we paid off the smallest one first. And it was really fun, actually, to pay off that first debt. It was about an $800 student loan. And once we paid it off, we just picked up a lot of traction, and it was really good.
And just so you know, what a debt snowball is, you pay smaller debts off first because it feels good. And then you start enjoying saving money more than you enjoy spending money. And that's actually what happens. The rush you used to get from spending, you start to get that rush from saving.
And another thing that was really good for us, we would review upcoming events when we did our budget and we prayed together. And this was really good. Our communication was starting to improve. And I actually knew when, like, one of our children's friends' next birthday was, because it seems like there was one almost every weekend. So it was just good to be able to stay on track with that. And one thing that was really important for us was we didn't discuss money in between the times we did budget. So there was, you know, just a lot of joy. There was more joy there. So if I was thinking to myself, you know, why is Aaron buying that plant for the house, I would save that conversation until we did budget. And it turns out she actually had budgeted for that plant with her miscellaneous money.
Ooh, that was good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Smart. But anyways, it was good to save that conversation. And so that was good. One thing we found out, we had to get out of debt, we had to spend less than we made, which was
which is a crazy idea,
yeah.
By the way. So that might be new to a lot of people. It's, you know, we're teaching our kids that you need to spend less than you actually make,
right?
Not more. Okay.
So Proverbs 21:20 says, "The wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets." So we started tracking our incoming and our outgoing expenses, and we really tried to identify the difference there and widen that gap, and we wanted our income to be higher than our expenses. So some of the things we did, we turned our cable off, and we said no to trips. A lot of our family lives in other states, so for a season, we didn't visit them. But since we got out of debt, we've been able to visit them more. So, you know, and another thing that we really found was, you know, to get out of debt, we had to get a bigger shovel and earn more income. So for this, you know, we got creative. For one season, we had a roommate. We actually also had a lot of yard sales. And one yard sale that I wanted to share with you. We were loading everything from the attics to the front door. And we started having the yard sale, and our little girl didn't want to come outside. And so we asked her, you know, why don't you want to come outside? And she said, "I don't want you to sell my milk that's in my sippy cup." And we're like, no, we're not gonna sell your milk.
Well, she knew you guys were hardcore by this time. That's good.
So we were ready. A lot of the stuff in the house went. We actually sold that Jeep Wrangler, and we bought a 1991 Honda Accord. That was a perfect car for us. We also started a side business. We started we called it His and Hers Lawn Care. So we live in Richmond Hill, and we put flyers around Richmond Hill. We load our 21-inch mower into the back of the Honda. And Erin would go and mow the grass, and I would stay home with the baby. And then she would come home and watch the baby, and I would go and edge and clean up.
And you guys don't still do this, right?
No, this was just
okay,
for
so
two
it's not,
seasons.
It's not a shameless promotion, yeah. By the way. All right.
We did it for two seasons, and we made around $8,000 with the business that we're able to use for debt, savings, and giving. So once we got out of debt, we knew we needed an emergency fund so we wouldn't go back into debt. And we knew that emergencies would come. We really practiced the Dave Ramsey's baby steps, which we find to be a great resource. And the emergencies did come. Our air conditioning went out. We helped provide legal assistance to a family member who has Down syndrome. And we did all this without going back into debt. And just a key that I wanted to really kind of stress tonight was, you know, for us, it wasn't perfect. Some months we spent more than we budgeted, but it's far less than we would have spent if we didn't have a budget at all. So it's really important to find a system that works for you. You know, at first, Erin would save all the receipts, and we tried to do the budget that way, and we found that that just didn't work for us. So now when we do our budget, we recap where we spent in different categories for the past 2 weeks. So we're still working on our plan 7 years later. We still have no debt except for our house. And we find that we're more generous and we're planning for fun events and for our retirement. And now, you know, we're putting $500 maybe towards a Disney trip in the fall rather than making a $500 payment on a Jeep. So it's one thing I want to leave you with is just start your plan today. And really, like Dave was saying, peace and joy will follow immediately.
Right on. Thanks, man. All right, I'm gonna jump in with you, Davey, right here. So a lot of people are interested in this, and there's a lot of creative ways to do this, but people often just don't know how to do it. As fathers, husbands, moms, people who are leading their families, they want to be good examples. They want to educate their families in how to be wise with their finances. So what are some ways that a person can teach, in the way it's written, what are some ways I can teach my family to become financially wise?
Sure. That's a great question. You know, first I'll tell you that there has not always been an Outback, so don't let that part be misconstrued. You know, my story kind of began, you know, I've been married almost 21 years now, and before there was an Outback, there was struggles. I know at 23 years old, I bought my first house, but that's all we bought. We went to every member of our church, and we had furniture and pillows and all types of things that we had to borrow just to bring into our household. So it was a pretty interesting time. And really, it was a time I didn't know how to manage the money. So it was trial and error. You know, there was, at that point, you know, I bought new cars, and a lot of those cars landed back at the dealership for some reason.
Right.
but it was a lesson learned. So to answer your question briefly, you know, what I've done with my children and what we're currently doing with our children, my wife and I, we have just kind of coupled together this three-point step here, and we call it plan, prepare, and execute. So really, whatever we do it in that mannerism that we're not going to put ourselves in.
And do your kids know those words? They know those terms?
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, you know, briefly here, my daughter needed new tires before she went back to college. She's a senior. And she, you know, she was like, okay, Dad, you know, I need four tires for my car. And she just thought Dad was going to buy them. I said, no, that's not going to happen. So I said, well, you know, tomorrow I want you to get on the computer and, you know, find an area that, you know, is pretty close and you can find four tires. And then she was waiting for me to go outside and find out what size tires she had. So I made her do the homework. And I already had it done for her. At the bottom line, that was a cause factor with her being a senior in college. It was something for her to benefit in that purchase herself.
Yeah.
And it taught behavior, you know, kind of the same girl. I have a 12-year-old. She lost her cell phone right after we bought it. And she was looking at mom and dad and saying, hey, you know, I want another cell phone. We made her wait an entire 6 months, and she just recently received a new cell phone. But it's calculated purchases and things that we've done to kind of, you know, manage our cost and as well as our household. And those behaviors go along with just thinking about long-term, you know, medical emergencies, things that may come up that may be big cost factors in your household. And we've had those, you know. We had a medical emergency 2 years ago. My wife is a cancer survivor. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that was a big impact to our household in the process of me moving and taking over a new restaurant. There was a lot of cause factors. And I would look to, you know, several scriptures, which I'll propose before you. One of my favorites is Philippians 4:19, and it says, "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all of your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us through Christ." With that said, I also have to be reminded that God wants us to be humble. And in James 4:10, it talks about before the land, humble yourself before the land, and God will lift you up. So I had to learn those behaviors because it was just really silly cost that I put on myself.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. You know, there's a couple of you who are natural financial geniuses. When you were two, you knew how to manage your money. None of the rest of us do. I mean, we have to learn this stuff. It's the same with other things in our lives. We're all lifelong learners when it comes to living our life for Christ. We're all lifelong learners in our marriages and how to raise our kids. And we're lifelong learners with finances. So we're all in the same boat with this kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was pretty challenging. There was times where you just didn't plan for a rainy day. You know, I was working for a big Fortune 500 company and lost that job. And it was just behaviors because I didn't have the toolage and the practice of how to handle that money. So I had to seek advice. I had to get, people involved that would show me how to better manage my money. So, and really that tied into what we do every day in our church. You know, we talk about the tithe, and I think that's so important. That teaches behaviors how to give back and be a part so you can give and, be better in the community as well as your household. So, at any rate, our story, transitioned and it brought us to, to Georgia from Virginia, and there was many struggles. We just didn't have the knowledge to how to handle those incomes, so we started sharing. Similar to what Brendan mentioned, 2 weeks into the month, my wife and I are having conversations about, what is important at this time. No last minute spending, no compulsive buying, no, we want it because we see it.
And don't show up with a plan, right? Yeah. Don't just show up with a plan.
Yeah, absolutely. And then obviously, I talked about the 3 points here. There's preparing around it. And, we just prepare ourselves for those days that may be a little bit more challenging than others because there are many challenges. Every day we face, can we pay this bill? Can we pay for 2 children in college? Can we pay for medical bills that may be sitting on the shelf? But I just continually give it to God and, continually not to compromise, my tithe, my offering, and obviously what my belief is with our household. And that's a conversation you could ask my kids today, how those things take place. So again, as a business owner, that helped me. And because I felt disciplined in the eyes of God, I think he blessed me enough to give me a little bit more, I would say that prayer of Jabez, where you just enlarge your territory. So I'm excited about, the things that are happening. But this is a good, platform for obviously to share those stories because there's been many.
Absolutely. Right on. Thank you.
Sure.
All right, John Mark. So I like this one. Ask in several different ways. I'm going to read this particular way it's written here. So we have limited income, and it's been so hard to stay out of debt. So family has been in and out of debt. How can a family with limited income realistically stay out of debt?
Okay, that's a great question and something that I've really spent some time thinking about. I need to kind of start out by giving a little bit of background, a little bit of our story. A year after my wife, her name is Beth, a year after Beth and I were married, we found ourselves, literally 12 months later, we had $7,000 in credit card debt, we had student loans, and we also had a car payment. And I know that those numbers aren't quite as dramatic as my brother's stories here, but you've got to kind of keep this in mind. Beth was making $21,000 a year. I was making $400 a month. I was working part-time as a children's pastor at a little tiny church while I finished school. And so that $7,000 in credit card debt on top of student loans, on top of a car payment, it was really crippling to us. It was really, really crippling. And so we shared this with another couple in our church. And so we had this couple that really just loved us and decided that they were going to help us with this. And so they kind of took us under their wings, and they said, "You've got to come up with a plan. And in order to do that, the first part of that plan is you've got to get out of debt. That's the first thing that you've got to do. And so they shared this proverb with us. It's Proverbs 21:5. It says, "The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty." And listen, we were headed very quickly into poverty. I mean, listen, we were already broke, okay? We were as broke as we could be. We were just pretending like we weren't broke. And we were just spending money on just about whatever we wanted to. So we made a decision one day that we just weren't going to keep buying stuff. We literally decided after that counsel from that couple, we just were not going to keep buying stuff, and we were going to pay off our debt. And I would say that for most people, that's actually the beginning of financial peace. It's not once all of the debt is paid off. It's actually making a decision to start somewhere. And that actually, we had some financial peace there. It was a measure of it, at any rate. And so we got really aggressive with our debt. Beth worked a whole lot of overtime. I put every paycheck I had, as little as it was, toward our credit card bills and our student loans. And it took some time, but after a couple of years, we actually made it. We were actually able to pay off all of that debt. I know it's a little bit cliche to say nowadays, but I realize that, but it really is true. We drank the Dave Ramsey Kool-Aid early on. I mean, we bought completely into it, and we said we were just
going to... We've done that class twice. We've done Crown Ministries, and we've done it twice.
Yeah, we did Crown Ministries kind of back in the day. We did that as well, and we really just said, you know what, if this is where the wisdom's going to come from, we're going to do that.
Sometimes you have to, because you do it, and then you don't do the stuff, and then you got to do it again. Right?
Yeah.
It's been good.
Yeah,
so... free channel on iHeartRadio, too.
And iHeartRadio, yeah.
Well, there you go. So we might have made it out in 18 months instead of 24 months if we'd done that, so... So we decided we were just going to do that. We sat down and we came up with a budget. They've already kind of talked about it a little bit. And then we went to the envelope system. And listen, I want to make sure I really say this clearly. If you are in any kind of debt, and especially if you're struggling, you have got to consider getting on this envelope system. Let me explain that very, very quickly. So the envelope system is like this. You sit down, you come up with your budget, and then you realize, okay, I need, for example, you know, $400 a month for groceries. I've got three boys, so we're doing like,
that's actually
we're like $5,000 a month in groceries. But
ramen.
I have three girls, and we spend more money on groceries than you, so we're doing something wrong.
That's all right. We'll talk about it later. So here's the deal. We sat down, okay, we figured, we need $400 a month for groceries or whatever, and so we wrote groceries on the outside of the envelope, and then we went to the ATM or the bank and literally pulled out $400 in cash, and we stuck it in that envelope. We knew we needed $300 a month in gas or whatever. We literally went to the bank, pulled out $300 in cash, and stuck it in that envelope. And then when we would go to the grocery store, we took that envelope with us. We went, we bought groceries, and we paid cash for it. And then when that, you know, you get to the 20th of the month, and it's time for grocery shopping, and you go to the envelope, and there's nothing there, you don't borrow it from the gas money. And you don't borrow it from, you know, the clothes envelope or whatever. You just eat, like, beans and rice, you know, for 10 days. And the envelope system, really, it was so effective for us because it was kind of a self-imposed discipline. And it really forced us to really manage our purchases and really think ahead about how much money we were going to have, each month.
Well, and do you do the envelope system?
We
do the envelope system, too. And so when I run out of, you know, my money, I just, take it out of the kids' clothes or whatever. So it works really good for us, you know.
That is, especially if you keep it up high where they don't know, like on top of their fridge.
They can't get to it. Yeah, and put a lot of ones in there so they can't really tell how much is missing.
Wrap it in like a 20 or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. So, you know, besides putting ourselves on a budget and, you know, and going on that envelope system, we got really, really serious about this. We heard this from the same couple that was just so wise and really took care of us, you know, giving us a lot of counsel on this. We actually gave ourselves an allowance. You know, a lot of you guys give your middle schoolers, your high schoolers an allowance. Beth and I actually gave ourselves an allowance. So every payday, she got $25 and I got $25. So she had $50 a month and I had $50 a month. I could do whatever I wanted to with that 50 bucks. Anything I wanted. She wasn't going to.
You could come home with a plant.
Buy a plant.
I could. So I could do whatever I wanted. If I wanted to save up $300 to buy something, then you know what? I'll just save it, you know, for however many months that takes. If I wanted to buy, you know, a number two extra value meal from McDonald's, you know, 20 days out of the month, I don't know what that would work out to, but I could do that. And Beth's not going to look at the wrappers in the car and go, well, McDonald's again, what did that come out of? She didn't do that. So we got really serious about this. And so we did not have an envelope for going out to eat. way back in the day. And so if we went out to eat, it had to come out of our allowance. So we, I'm not making this up. So we decided that if we were going to go out to eat, we were going to go Dutch.
How long have you been married when you did this? How long were you married?
Were you married like
my wife
two
is
months.
In the room, and she would never let me do this. This is my favorite story ever. Go ahead. Keep going.
All right. So we decided, okay, if we're going to go out to eat, we don't
And I would envelope. Say John Mark does this, but she didn't care. Go ahead.
That's right. So we would go out to, you know, like we'd go out to like Longhorn or something, and then
John Mark.
Longhorn.
What did I say?
I could have saved your money.
You meant to say
I said Longhorn?
You meant to say Outback.
I could have saved your money.
I meant to say Bloomin' Onion.
I meant to say Outback.
Yeah.
I meant to say Outback.
Okay. It's okay.
That wasn't good. Okay. So we would go out to Outback or something like that. And we got hardcore about this. And so, you know, it was a really good idea for us. But, the waitress would come up and she would say, you know, okay, so, you know, get your drinks. You know, this be on one check. And my wife would say, no, this would be two checks. So like, it was really good for us financially, but like I always felt like Beth was about to break up with me, you know? Every time we'd go out to eat, I would also...
Waitresses love splitting the check, by the way.
Yeah, it, you know, it was nice though, because I would just like get rolls and like tell her to get the surf and turf.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so you know,
all her money would be gone.
So, and we did that. And listen, that was a really good idea for us. And it worked. I'm not going to say that it worked for everybody, but that worked for us. And it was... It was a plan that somebody just shared with us, and we said, you know what, we should try that. And it helped us. It helped us manage going out to eat, and we were just a little more careful, a little wiser about that. A couple other things that we just made a decision to do. We drove our cars until they completely died. We decided we were not going to, you know, trade up. We were not going to, you know, buy new cars. Over times, our habits have changed to kind of where we're at today. Today we do everything we can to avoid debt. I mean, everything we can. We pay cash for our vehicles. We just decided we're going to do that. I don't buy the kind of car that I want to drive. Listen, I want an F-250 on 35s so bad I can't stand it.
And it's not Pastor Appreciation Month, so don't anybody think that that's what he's doing.
That's my dream vehicle. I want that truck badly. But you know what? I can't afford that truck. I can't afford, that my dream vehicle. And so the reality is I can't afford it. I can't pay cash for it, and so I can't afford it. And so if we don't buy what we want, we buy what we can afford to pay cash for. We put money into different savings accounts every month. Right before we came up here, I counted up. We have 7 different savings accounts at our bank. Maybe you are financially savvy enough where you can use all your money in one account. You got a spreadsheet or Quicken or something like that. I have no idea. I can't do it that way. We don't do it that way. We just actually separate all these accounts. So we have 7 different savings accounts, and money goes into those savings accounts at different times of the year. We have a car repair replacement fund. 2 weeks ago, I had to buy 4 new tires for my wife's truck. I wrote a check for that. 2 days ago, I had to buy a brand new tire for my car. I wrote a check for that. I paid for it with our debit card. And that's possible. It doesn't hurt as much. Because we've saved a little bit here and there. We have a savings account for our HOA dues for our neighborhood. And a few times a year, I put a little bit of money in that savings account. And so that just came due in January. I wrote a check for our HOA dues. And it's just easier for me to do it that way. I felt kind of good. We had 7 savings accounts. I just found out about a month ago, there's somebody here on staff. They have 12 different savings accounts.
It's not me.
Yeah. And they have all these different savings accounts and one for vacation. And so I'm like, I aspire to be just like her. She's like my hero when it comes to, you know, savings accounts. You know, just a couple of other little things. Like Christmas, we start early in our family. We don't wait until Black Friday. We don't wait until December 1st. We start months ahead of time. We buy a little thing here, a little thing there, and then we hide it, you know, in the top of my closet and tell my kids. You know, we kind of, that's how we fund Christmas because, you know, we want to be generous to our friends and our family, but we want to go into debt while we're being generous.
And the
that
point is, you
sense.
Can get creative. There's a lot of things you can do if you really try to think about it.
Yeah, we're big fans of buying just about everything used. Cars, phones, furniture, and not everything, but most things we buy used. So our outlook has changed over the years a little bit, but there's one thing that has really stayed constant all the way through. We just got wise counsel early on, and I'm very grateful for that. My parents left a great legacy of generosity, for me and for my wife. We have tithed all the time, since even before we were married. We have always given to our home church, to our local church. For years, we had it drafted directly from our bank account. I work on staff here at the church, and so I have the option now to have it taken directly out of my paycheck before it ever even gets to my bank account. And so I go for that option. And I want to be really clear, why that is. First of all, because I want to do that as a discipline, as a follower of Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual discipline that I enjoy doing. But I'm just going to be transparent here as well. I also do that because I know me. And I know that if, there's one month in particular where, things are a little bit tight, or there's an emergency, or there's some kind of a crisis, or something happens, and there's not enough money for a tithe in my bank account, I know for a fact that I would be tempted to skip giving to God. I just know that about myself. I like to think that I would just muscle through that anyway, but I don't even want to put myself in that position. And so we have always given, we have always tithed. Very first thing right off, and I really believe that God has honored that, and I think that was a step that God really used to help get us to a place of financial peace today.
Awesome, thank you. All right, you got 6 seconds. Tell us the one of the best pieces of guiding financial advice that you've ever gotten that you live by.
Okay, if you can't pay it for it with cash, you can't afford it.
All right, what about you?
Do a budget twice a month, no matter how bad the budget was 2 weeks before. Start new at the next budget.
All right, what about you?
I would say remain disciplined so you can enjoy the things of life.
Yeah, so how does that go? Live like no one else now so that
one day you can live like
no one else. And I would say it really is smarter to live with 90% of your income and the blessing of God than to live with 100% of your income without the blessing of God. It's smarter. It really is. Here's what I want you to do. Everybody's got a little card in there. This is fun. In your bulletin, this is going to be really fun. This is a note to yourself, okay? And I'm actually going to give you a minute to fill it out. And I actually brought one for you guys, too.
All right.
So, and I'm actually going to do it, too. Here's what you do. You write a couple things. I'm going to give you a minute. You can start right now. A couple things you really want to remember. God's convicted you. He's put something on your heart in the last 3 weeks about finances. And you're like, okay, I want to remember this or something else in this series. Remember this, this, and this, or just this and this. You write a note to yourself. Then you address the envelope to yourself, okay? And then when you leave today, there's going to be people with baskets. You put your letter to yourself in the basket. 6 months later, we're going to send it to you. One of two things is going to happen, okay? Either way, you'll be grateful. One, you'll be so excited because you're like, wow, I did this stuff that I wrote down. I've been doing it, and look what God has done. Or number two, you'll be going, oh man, I didn't do any of this stuff. I'm so glad I reminded myself because I want to do it. So ready right now. You got a minute. Write your note to yourself. Make sure you put your address on it. Yeah, it's super light speed fast, but all right. If you haven't finished yet, it's okay. You can finish. You can finish, and before you leave, hey, let's close together. Let me say that blessing over all of us one more time. But listen to it in a prayer. Okay, here we go. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. We ask for your blessing. That these things that you've convicted our hearts about would remain upon us. They would free us from relational conflict. They would stay upon us as disciplines, lead us to hope, and we'd leave the room feeling peace. And so we receive that blessing that's 3,500 years old. May you bless us and keep us, Lord. May you make your face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. May you turn your face towards us. And give us peace. We love you. In your son's name. Amen. Hey, say thanks to these guys. Thanks for being here, guys.